Today, we're in a new series. We got a couple weeks. June is kind of a potpourri month because we've got Father's Day. And Next Gen Sunday. So we're going to do 2 weeks on the topic of joy. Ooh. Right? Yeah, joy is not the same as happiness, all right? And so we're going to take the next couple of weeks and just really talk about having joy in the journey. And as I was praying about this, I was thinking about this concept of enjoying God. Let me ask you this question. Do you enjoy Jesus? Do you enjoy his presence? Or do you only go to him when you need something? Because there's a difference, right? Being with him, loving him, versus only really going to him when it's crucial or crisis or I need, right? So we're going to talk about that today. So let's pray as we get into the word this morning. Father, we thank you again that you've given us the word of God. Father, thank you that it's tangible for us. Everything that we need to know about life, you have written in your word. God, help us to hide the word of God in our hearts so that we would not sin against you. God, help us to know more of your plans and purposes because we've been in your presence and we've been in your word. Lord, we pray as we talk today that you would just illuminate truth in our hearts. Open our ears, open our eyes to what you may be speaking to us today specifically. God, I thank you that because your word is living and active, the word can speak to all of us at the same time. And God, we thank you for that. That's amazing. And we love you, Jesus. Thanks for this opportunity today to gather and to learn from you in your precious name. Amen. You know, one of the greatest misunderstandings in the Christian life is this. People think that God only wants our obedience. Now, obedience is important. Obedience absolutely matters. But we're not robots. Do this, do that, all right? God is after something deeper than behavior, all right? He wants relationship. He wants fellowship with you and I. Again, he did not create us so that we can be, you know, the stormtroopers and just, you know, robots to do his mission. He created us so that we could have fellowship with him, relationship with him. So the fact is this, he wants us to enjoy him. Interesting, huh? Have you ever thought about that? He wants us to enjoy him. Think about a child who only calls their father when they need something. More money, a ride, permission, or help. A father will, of course, provide that, right? But his heart wants more than just requests. The father's heart wants that relationship. He wants presence and not gifts. I mean, presence being, you get it, right? He wants closeness. He wants love. And that is the picture of our Heavenly Father. God did not create us merely to serve him like workers on a job. Now, I'll be honest. There have been parts of my walk with Jesus where I felt like I was his employee. I worked like it. People and relationships paid the price for it because I felt like that was my job. I had to earn his love or earn his attention and then do, and it was out of balance big time. God wants us to abide with him, to be with him. Certainly there is a mission, and certainly we need to win others to Jesus, right? But he doesn't want us to do that at the sake of us losing our own salvation. The Bible says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Right? God help us in that. He wants closeness. He created us to walk with him, delight in him, and enjoy him. And here's the truth. Many believers know about God. They work for God, and they even serve God. But they never truly get to the point where they enjoy him. Let that sink in. Let that be the challenge of your heart even today. Are you serving him? Are you giving of your time and your energy? Are you doing these things, volunteering, being on team? Great. That's awesome. But do you enjoy him? For him. Amen? This has been freeing today as I was preparing this. This has been encouraging even for me. We are his children. You are his child, not his employee. So today the Lord wants to remind us that the deepest joy in life is not found in things, in success, people, or possessions. The deepest joy is found merely in the presence of God, in him, in his presence. Pure, right? Pure and holy. Turn with me to Nehemiah 8. We're going to take a look at some scripture today, and it will be on the screen here in a minute. Let me just give a little bit of context before we actually read. In Nehemiah, it describes the spiritual revival of the Jewish exiles in Jerusalem. We talked about Nehemiah a while ago. After miraculously completing the city walls, remember it was done in a very short time, like 52 days or something like that. The people then gathered to have Ezra read the law of God. The text emphasizes the transformative power of God, his word, the resulting grief of the conviction of God's word, because that's the point, and the ultimate restoration of joy. All right. And so let's turn with me to Nehemiah. Are you there? I needed to. It's on the screen. Can you go to that? All right, so here we go. Number one, verse one. All the people assembled with a unified purpose at the square just inside the water gate. Then they asked Ezra, the scribe, to bring out the book of law of Moses, which was the first five books, right? That's all they had at the time, all right? Which the Lord had given for Israel to obey. So on October 8, Ezra the priest brought the book of the law before the assembly, which included the men and women of all the children old enough to understand. He faced the square just inside the water gate from early morning until noon and read aloud to everyone who could understand. So again, they just built the wall and now they're celebrating. He's reading the word of God to the people. All right. All the people listened closely to the book of the law. Ezra the scribe stood on a high wooden platform that had been made for the occasion. To his right stood all of these folks. These were community leaders. I'm not going to try to go to do their names, all right? They were leaders of the time. Ezra stood on the platform in full view. When they saw him open the book, they rose to their feet. Then Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people chanted, "Amen, amen." And they lifted their hands. They are celebrating. They're recognizing the God who just did the miracle of building the wall. They're recognizing his great power as they lifted their hands. Then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. All right. Again, there's such reverence for God's word that we can learn from, right? Then the Levites, and again, I'm not going to go through their names, they instructed the people in the law while everybody remained in their places. They read from the book of the law and clearly explained the meaning of what was being read, helping the people understand each passage. So again, beautiful team. The Levites were the priests and they were helping people understand what was being said. Then Nehemiah, the governor, Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites who were interpreting for the people said to them, "Don't mourn or weep on such a day as this, for today is a sacred day before the Lord your God." For the people had all been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. That's huge. And Nehemiah continued, "Go and celebrate with a feast of rich foods and sweet drinks share gifts of food with people who have nothing prepared. This is a sacred day before our Lord. Don't be dejected and sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. All right. I love in the part where it talks about when the book of the law was being read, they were convicted. They had this reverence for the truth and it changed them. Guys, we have to get back to a place of reverence that when we read this scripture, we say, Lord, change me, change my heart, change my ways, right? Yeah. They realized it convicted them and they were weeping and they were mourning because they realized that they had been not who God had called them to be and they wanted to change to be like that. And so he says, don't be dejected, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Joy becomes our strength because of who Christ is. All right. Amen to that. So what is joy? All right. Biblical joy is not hype. It's not pretend. It's not a fake smile with a broken heart. All right. Joy is a deep, Holy Spirit given delight in God. All right. I'm going to say that again. Joy is a deep, Holy Spirit given delight in God that remains. Now here's the kicker. Even when life shakes, it remains even when things break up. It remains even when you get a diagnosis. It remains even when you get fired from your job. It remains when life shakes. That's what joy is. That deep inner sense that the Holy Spirit gives that it's going to be okay. That God's got you. Amen? Different than happiness, right? Happiness depends on happenings. It depends on circumstances. But joy depends on God. Woo, that's great, right? Because he's dependable and he doesn't change. So we can count on that. Happiness changes with the weather. Joy stands firm because God's firm. Joy is not denial, all right? So it's not like you're walking around like, oh, I don't have any problems. You're not a fake. You're not being fake. But I've watched people go through horrific times. And their heart is broken. And they can even be weeping. But yet there's this internal joy that they know that God's got them. Because the presence of God is with them. Different than happiness. Joy says, even if something is wrong, God is right. God is still good, and he is still here with me. And we can take that to the bank, amen? All right, Psalm 16:11. Let's look at another verse. You will show me the way of life, granting me joy, the joy of your presence, and the pleasures of living with you forever. This is an interesting little verse right here. You will show me the way of life. God has a way of living that we need to be living. It's his way, not our way. It's his way, not our way, right? You will show me the way of life, which we know is all in the scripture, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever. Guys, if you're struggling in life and life is chaotic and you're going around the same mountains, and you can't figure out what is wrong, it's because you're living life your way. You can't live it your way. It's his way or your way. There's only two options. The Bible has given us everything that we need to know. And there's favor in doing it God's way. There's joy in his presence. There's pleasures of living with him forever. There's so many benefits to living his way. But we have to activate that. We have to live that out. The world says, go do your own thing. Be who you want to be. Love who you want to love. Do all. That's what the world says. God says, no, no. I am the way, the truth, and the life, period. Right? We're not rewriting scripture to make people feel okay. No. You want to know how he feels about marriage? Read your scripture. You want to know how he feels about life? Read your scripture. You want to know how he feels about the rapture, revelation, end times? Read the scripture. It's in there. The truth is in the word of God. Amen. And aren't you glad? Aren't you glad he didn't leave us here and when he went to heaven and was like, good luck, figure it out. No, he gave us his word. He gave us his plan so that we wouldn't be lost. Let me ask you this. How many of you guys have seen the movie that came out a while ago called I Can Only Imagine 2? It's the second one. Okay, have you guys seen the second one? If you haven't seen that one, please do so. It is, I hadn't saw it and it is incredible. You'll need Kleenexes. But it's kind of just the second take on Bart Miller, who's the lead singer of the group, and kind of how life takes a journey. But anyways, one of the band members in his band, Bart was looking for the next hit because I Can Only Imagine was the one song that really made a huge hit. And so he was struggling, wasn't able to write. And so one of the band members came up with a song because of a journey he'd been going through with cancer. And he wrote the song, Even If. Have you guys heard that song on the radio, right? Even If. Ugh. I'm going to read you some of the lyrics. It is incredible because here was a man who wrote this song, penned this song, and was facing, without a miracle from God, death. And he was able to say, you know, even if I can trust the Lord, I've got joy. I know that no matter what I'm facing, God's with me. So here are some of the lyrics. It says this, I know you are able, and I know you can. Save through the fire with your mighty hand. But even if you don't, my heart is yours alone. I know the sorrow, I know the hurt would all go away if you just said the word. But even if you don't, my hope is in you alone. I remember praying for our superintendent, John Wooten, who had cancer, and we were standing in the gap for him. And I remember playing this song over and over and over again as I was navigating with the reality that he might go home to Jesus. And I remember having to get to the point where I could say, but even if you don't, heal him on this side. My heart is going to be okay, right? Guys, we have to get to the point in our lives when we can say that, even if you don't fix, dot, 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 even if you don't heal, dot, 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 my hope is in you alone. The joy of the Lord is our strength because the presence of God is what we need. The joy is not just in what God gives, it's in his presence. And as I watched this movie and I watched the character who had the cancer, who wrote the song, and you watch the journey, you just say, man, that's how I want to walk it out, Jesus. I want to be so surrendered to you that no matter what, I can say that. Amen. In Acts 13, 49 and 52, and it's not on your screen, Paul and Barnabas were sent out to share the good news of Jesus. And it says this, and the word of the Lord was spreading throughout the whole region. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. God was doing so much through this team right here because of the power of the Holy Spirit. We can't have joy on our own. You can't just muddle it up, right? It's from the Holy Spirit. And so if you're struggling right now with that, you can ask the Lord, Lord, I need your joy. I am struggling. I've got all these other things in me that are keeping me down. I need your joy. I need your strength. I need your hope, right? Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Our joy is spread through the good news of Jesus' love. When you start talking to somebody else about Jesus, guess what? Your heart starts to fill with joy because you're talking about Jesus, and in that is his presence. And all of a sudden, the focus of all the negativity goes away, and you're focusing on him and his presence and his power. It's not enough to be filled with joy. We've got to give it away. God made us for community. He wants us to share that with others. Yesterday, we did a garage sale in our community, and Chuck and I decided we were going to pass out Rockside Waters, and we had our brochures about Rockside because it's a huge community thing. And we had so many people come, and such a great opportunity just to share. Because every time we'd say, hey, would you like a complimentary water? they'd be like, wait, other people are selling. And we're like, yeah, but this is a blessing from our church. And so different ones would ask about the church. And, you know, we never know who might be watching or who might show up at some point. But we believe what we have is to be shared. What we have is to be given away, right? That's why we're multiplying out. That's why they're looking to reach Brooklyn, because there are other people that need to know about Jesus. They need to be able to be in a room and a community of believers like this, right? It's important. Romans 15:13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. There have been times where I've had to ask the Lord to give me joy, to give me peace, because life was difficult and life was shaken and different things, all right? So again, we're not robots, we're his kids. So if you're struggling with that today, ask him. He will give that to you. We need believers who know that God's presence is better than his gifts. Amen? So a couple thoughts on God's presence. First thing is this, God's presence is our treasure, all right? It's our treasure. Psalm 27:4 says this, the one thing I ask of the Lord, the one thing I seek most is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in his temple. The one thing I ask, that was David's cry. Not many things. He said one thing. Not blessings first, the Lord first. Not provision first, the Lord. Not answers, but his presence. The Lord first. The one thing I ask, the one thing I seek most. Is that where your heart's at? To seek him, his presence above answers, above needs, above resources? If not, that's okay. That can change today. But I promise you, if you edit that, if you start putting his presence over priority in your life, it will change everything. You will be abundant, flowing over with joy. Here's a simple everyday picture for you. Sometimes people want a relationship for the benefits, but not for the actual person. They want the protection, the comfort, the convenience, but not the cost and not the closeness. May that not be us, right? We don't want to use and abuse Jesus just because he's good and faithful, right? Real love is not after benefits only. Real love wants presence. And some of us need to ask ourselves a serious question today. Do I enjoy God? Or do I only use him? Do I go to him only when I need something? Do I pursue his hand or do I pursue his heart? Okay. And that's a challenge for all of us, right? This week, spend some time with God without a list. No demands, no rushing, no agenda, just worship, just thanksgiving. Just a heart that's grateful and humble and so aware of how good he is. Just be in his presence. Can we try that? Can you try that this week? Even if you just take 5 minutes, it doesn't have to be a long amount of time, but go into that 5 minutes and just be with him without asking or requesting or needing. Just come into that to pour on your love to him. God's presence is our treasure. Joy grows through our worship. Psalm 100 says this, worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him, singing with joy. Singing with joy. Worship changes the atmosphere. I'll be honest, in this last couple of weeks, I've had some things that I've had to fight, some spiritual warfare in my own head. It's interesting that when God calls you to do different seasons and different things, a different kind of leader is required. And so I've had to go through a metamorphosis in my pastoral leadership. And sometimes as you go through that leadership metamorphosis, there can be a little bit of insecurity. There can be a little bit of the enemy trying to mess with you. And I've had to do my own set of spiritual warfare coming against those things. And that's difficult sometimes. But worship changes the atmosphere. When you get out of your own whatever, and all of a sudden you're rising above the things of this world, and you're focusing on Jesus and how great he is and wonderful he is, and all of a sudden the atmosphere changes. And listen, we talked about the name of Jesus, right? The name that's above all of the names. The name, literally at the name of Jesus, demons have to flee. Like, come on. It changes atmospheres. Worship changes the focus. It changes the heart. And sometimes we got to get ourselves in the presence of God because our heart is just struggling. It's heavy. It's ugly. It's full of things of the world. Just get into worship and all of a sudden that stuff will start to melt off. Worship is warfare, and it changes the atmosphere. When you worship, your problem may not leave immediately, but your perspective will shift immediately. You stop magnifying the problem, and you start magnifying God, right? Here's what happens in everyday life. If you start your mornings by grabbing your phone, checking the news, reading negative reports, filling your mind with pressure, your soul gets heavy before the day even starts. Like, yeah. Like, so literally, don't do that. Get up, put into your day things that are going to bring life to you. Put on some worship, read some scripture, right? Thank the Lord. Like, there's so much negativity around. We don't need extra, right? So try that out this week. Get rid of some of those voices, some of those things that are just not life-giving. I've had to cut so much out of my life. And listen, I don't miss it. I don't miss the burden and the heaviness from it. I can read headlines every so often and be in the know. I read Revelation. I know what happens. God's in control. I mean, we have to know what's going on. But man, there's just so much heaviness in it. And we can sometimes get so absorbed that we're not even of any heavenly or earthly good, right? So let's start our days with praise. Start with scripture. Start by lifting your eyes to God. Something will shift in you. Worship is not a performance, but it's fuel. It's for you when you feel strong. Worship is what helps you, makes you feel strong. Sometimes the breakthrough you need is not a new word, but it's a song. There's breakthrough in our worship. Joy gives us strength. We already talked about that. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Joy helps you stand when life tries to knock you down. Joy helps you keep praying when the answers are delayed. Anybody here still praying for something yet? Not come to happen, right? Joy keeps you praying for that. Joy helps you keep believing when circumstances look impossible. Joy helps you keep going when your emotions are tired and you want to give up. Nehemiah spoke these words, "The joy of the Lord is your strength," to people who were broken and grieving, and they were convicted of their sin. They weren't celebrating comfort. They were standing in conviction at that time. And in that moment, God told them not to stay in despair. Some of you need to hear that today. Don't stay in despair. God has given you joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. In his presence is fullness of joy. You don't have to carry that around anymore. Let that go and let joy come in and fill your heart and fill your mind. Amen. Habakkuk 3:17-18 says, "Even though the fig trees have no blossoms and there are no grapes on the vines, even though the olive crop fails and the fields lie empty and barren," this is beginning to look like a negative newscast, "and even though the flocks die in the fields and the cattle barns are empty, yet I will" what? "Rejoice in the Lord. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation." So even though all those things were negative, all those things aren't happening, what does it say? Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. That is real joy. Not joy because your bank account is full, not because your body feels perfect or because every door is opening, right? Joy because God is good, even if. Joy because God is faithful. Joy because God is still God in the middle of it all. So why do we lose joy? Let's be honest. It happens, right? We get distracted by the world. We get pulled into busyness. We let sin in, right? It crouches at our door. We let it in. It dulls our appetite for God. We start spending time doing things that are pulling us away from God, right? We start to lose our joy. We trade prayer for pleasure. We trade scripture for entertainment. We trade intimacy for religious activity, right? And before long, the flame, the passion, the love grows cold, right? And then we go, why does God not hear me? Why isn't he hearing my prayers? Why do I not feel him? And it's like, who moved? He didn't move. You did. So just repent and do the things you did at first, right? That's what he said to the church of Ephesus. They lost their first love. So he says, okay, repent and do the things that you did at first if you want to get that first love back. Some of you have known Jesus for a long time, but maybe you've let that flame dim down. Man, today's a great day to say, Lord, I repent. Remind me of what it was like when I knew you. I want to live on fire for you. I want the joy of the Lord. When I go into a grocery store, when I walk into my workplace, I want literally the joy of the Lord just to emanate out. Turn with me to Psalm 51. David prays a prayer that we're going to read together, and it's really kind of like where we're at today. We can resonate. Psalm 51. He knows what it's like to let the flame grow dim and make some bad decisions, but yet God is a good God, and as he comes back to the Lord, it's amazing how the Lord responds. So Psalm 51 says this, have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love, because of your great compassion. Blot out the stain of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin, for I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. Against you and you alone, I have sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight. You will be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just. For I was born a sinner, yes, from the moment my mother conceived me. But you desire honesty from the womb, teaching me wisdom even there. And of course, this is David talking. Purify me from my sins, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Oh, give me back my joy again. All right, so here he is again, crying out to God. Give me back the joy. You have broken me. Now let me rejoice. Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. Verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Verse 12, restore to me the joy of your salvation. And make me willing to obey you. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. Some of you in here today need that restoration, that joy of your salvation when you knew Jesus the first time. Some of you need that restoration today. Notice what David asked for in this, not for success, not status, not power. He asked for joy. Because when joy comes back, worship comes back. When joy comes back, obedience becomes sweeter. When joy comes back, intimacy returns. It's like, how many of you in here are country music fans? So just a few of you. All right. Well, there's a song by Rascal Flatts called, I don't even know actually what it's called, but it talks about country songs often are about all the things you lose, right? This song talks about if you played it backwards, that then you'd get everything back, you know? And so it's, I love it because I think that's really hilarious, but it's true. Like what we're talking about, right? You get everything back, right? And listen, that's what he was asking for, joy, so that his salvation could come back, the joy of his salvation, his worship could come back, his obedience, intimacy. Some of you, you need that to come back because you've lost it. Today is that day for the restoring of that salvation, that joy of your salvation. Amen?